Joining us on the line now from the UK is Henry Porter. He was editor of Vanity Fair and a regular columnist for The Observer, and now writes about European power and politics for the Hive website in the UK. He's also written 7 best-selling thrillers, including Brandenburg, which won the Crime Writers Association Ian Fleming Steel Dagger. He's frequently described as the heir to John le Carré. He's with us on the Book Show to talk about his latest novel. It's a spy thriller set between the Baltics, the US and the UK. It's called The Old Enemy. Welcome to the Book Show, Henry.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. And I understand that the idea for this book was very much born on the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, when you visited Berlin for the celebrations.
Indeed it was. It was 30 years since I was a younger man. I covered the fall of the Berlin Wall on that astonishing weekend. And I went back, took my wife, and I thought, she'd never been to Berlin. I thought we'd see what had changed, you know. And I took her to the east part of the city and realized so much hadn't changed. You know, it was the old recognizable East Berlin with all the sort of communist buildings and boulevards and piazzas and plazas, exactly as it was. And then I began to think, what happened to all those Stasi officers who, at the beginning of their careers in 1989, they were sort of looking forward to a lifetime of privilege and power in the Stasi, and then that was just dragged away from them. And that gave me the idea of thinking, well, maybe, you know, maybe they kept in the business. Maybe they stayed in the business and became embedded in American corporate life and continued to exercise their influence for all and on behalf of the former Soviet Union. So that's how the book was all born in a minute when I was thinking these thoughts. You know, it's a wonderful thing when a book is pretty much there for you to write, because normally it's a bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
But this sort of came to me fully formed.
But there was still a massive amount of research that you did for the book. I know research is really important to you.
Yeah, it is. It sounds crazy, but I need to know. I did a book, the first of this series called Firefly. It's about the migrant trail from Turkey right through the Balkans. And once I had the idea, it was necessary for me to kind of really go to Macedonia and just get everything in my head, the trees that grow in the forest, the kind of cabs used by the cab firms in the capital city. That's what I need to know, all that information. Then I feel very confident. So I like that sort of local tiny detail. But also, you know, if you're going to write a big scene, as I did for this, but you need to have been to Congress and to really kind of look at it properly. And luckily I'd done that before lockdown. And it was, in fact, I was very lucky with this book. I'd done a lot of research without knowing I was going to write the book and without knowing that lockdown was about to hit us.
Yes. So it's part of a series then. How many in this series?
Well, this is the third and there will be a fourth, and then I'll can the series. It's about the times we live in, you know, from the migrant crisis onwards. And I think it's a very distinct period of history, which, of course, now has the pandemic as a very, very big part of it. But it has, to me, been a very distinct part of history, which has seen the rise of populism all over the world and the denial of science and truth. But at the same time, I think rather optimistic signs of people showing great humanity. I watched on the migrant trail, for instance, enormous kindness repeatedly every day from people who had not much, you know. So I think it's a time of extremes of humanity and carelessness and all sorts of things. So this is about 4 people, none of them born in the English-speaking world, who are navigating this world. And my lead character, a spy who has a Lebanese background but is based in London. And I find it easier to see this world that is going on in front of us through the eyes of these people who have come into Europe and the West.
And they're four very different characters, aren't they?
Yeah, I was started with this kid that I saw in the Moria, I always get the name wrong, the Moria refugee camp in Lesbos. It was an extremely good-looking, intelligent young man of about 12 or 13, kicking his heels in a compound. And there was my hero for the first book, Firefly. So he remained through all the three books that I've written, together with the psychologist he met in that camp, and I happen to have met in that camp, so she became a character in the book with her permission. The man she marries, a Kurdish billionaire in America, and my spy hero, Paul Sampson. So just about these four characters, and it does intrigue me not to write the standard American and British characters, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned this refugee trail. So where exactly is that?
Well, I went from Lesbos, which is in the east of the Aegean, and was very, very close, is very close to Turkey. So these little rafts came across bearing vast numbers of refugees every dawn.
Gosh.
So I started there, then Athens, then North Greece, Macedonia, Serbia, and northwards. And I spent the winter of 2015-16, a lot of that winter, actually following this trail and working out how people lived in the incredibly low temperatures, how they kept sane, how they kept themselves body and soul together. It was a kind of very, very moving experience and a great education for me about, you know, my not to put too fine a point on it, my privilege, my luck in life, compared to people who born with equal amount of talent and gift, but have just not had the chances I've had. So it was a big education and a revelation to me.
Yeah, wonderful to be able to see that, because so many of us really have no idea what it must be like and are just relying on, well, books like yours and things that we see on the news.
Yeah, I just was so struck by the number of Syrian refugees who had very good degrees, economics, medicine, engineering, that I met, who had nothing, were carrying their possessions in a couple of supermarket plastic bags, and spoke perfect English, were incredibly interesting to talk to, were concerned as much for themselves as for other people, so they were always thinking of their compatriots and trying to help them. It was, you know, incredibly encouraging, as I think actually we see in the pandemic at the moment. There are more people helping each other than ever I've seen or experienced in my lifetime. Just simple acts of kindness. And I think the pandemic has brought out that part of humanity in a really, really strong relief, as did the my experience on the migrant trail.
Yeah, very much so. So do you think that the four main characters in your book, there are people that when reading the book, they'll be able to relate to the characters in some way?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I never know whether I write characters that people relate to, but I mean, I can only do what interests me. And I mean, the interest in this book, these series of books for me, is a sort of rather agonized love affair between Paul Sampson and the character Anastasia. And, you know, I'm really interested in writing this love affair because it seems to me not all love affairs are easy. And these two have enormous and strong appeal for each other, but they clash in so many ways. And I find that kind of interesting and also funny. That they just can't really be together, but they can't be without each other. And I find that kind of interesting to write.
Yeah. And how long does it take you to write your books, would you say?
It's about 9 months to a year. And that book that is published next week is completely a product of lockdown in England, I wrote it actually really quickly because there wasn't an awful lot much more to do, very little distraction, you know, and so I wrote it very, you know, really pounded out the words, and then Yeah, so it was about, that was a kind of record for me, about 7 months.
Mm, wonderful. So do you think with the next book you'll feel the pressure of trying to do it as quick, or will you allow yourself to relax a bit?
I think it's a funny thing that I'm constantly struck by how little in control you are of what you do as a writer. You know, where the idea is from, what sort of lucky bits of research you happen upon, how long it takes to write something. Whether you know, it's perfectly possible to write 30,000 words of a book, which has happened to me, and you sort of wake up one morning and say, this is total nonsense. It doesn't work at all.
Oh, no.
And you have to go back over those 30,000 words or can them. And that, I can't tell you, is agonizing, and it's not great for morale. So you're not really in control, and you just pray it goes well.
Yeah. You have to be so determined. If you have to get rid of that much work, you have to be so determined to start again and keep going. You have to really want to.
Yeah. Also, it's a question of earning some money. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I depend on this for my livelihood. So, you know, I have to finish the book, and I have to write another book this year. And so in a sense, it's not really self-discipline. It's more sheer terror. And, and you know, you just sit down and do it.
Yeah. And have you already started the next book, or do you give yourself a bit of a break in between?
Well, I'm writing a long TV series. So I'm just mapping out the plot and hoping that I can make it work. I mean, this is the other thing about the sort of complicated plots is you never know whether they're going to fall apart. You know, you pull a bit of thread and the whole thing falls apart. And I'm sure other people are more sort of rigorous and organized than I am. But I actually don't ever know if it's going to work until, you know, I've got the end in sight and I really know what's happening.
Mm. And this TV series, is it a similar kind of theme, or can you tell us anything about it?
Yeah, it's partly about spies, but it's also about the incredible crisis we have in, and this is everywhere in Europe and in America, is the crisis we have of local news coverage, how important it is for people to make up their minds about their elected representatives if they have the information about what's going on in their local community. Local news is, I mean, I was, a long, long time ago, a local news journalist. And I remember then the amazing efforts we used to do, cover the local council, the inquest, the local magistrates court, the fates, the gardens opened, all that stuff was really covered in detail, and it gave people a real idea of their local community. So I've got this idea of a new way of doing this, which I'm putting into drama. Now, it sounds incredibly worthy and boring, but it's full of all sorts of exciting things, I hope.
Yeah, fantastic. And is it definitely going to TV? Has all of that gone through?
Well, it's written for TV, and whether it... I mean, you know, there's a big market in TV at the moment, so you've got Sky Atlantic, Apple TV, Amazon Prime,
yeah,
Netflix, just to name a few of the people who are commissioning original TV.
So we're wait and see.
Yeah, hope. Wait and hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if people want to get a copy of The Old Enemy, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Henry Porter, who we've been chatting to. Henry, I just want to ask you one more thing. Is being editor of Vanity Fair sounds completely different to what you're doing now. What was that like?
Well, I did the European edition. So the big boss was Graydon Carter in New York. I did the European edition, which is basically cover the stuff that the Americans didn't do. So I covered the Arab Spring all those years ago, migrant crisis, a big series of terrorist attacks in Paris and Brussels in 2015. So I did that sort of stuff.
Gosh, but enjoyable.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. I mean, the thing about those American magazines is you can write at length, so you can write 4,000 or 5,000 words. I don't know if your listeners know much about the length of stuff, but that's quite a big piece. And you can, and you know, they have the money to spend going all over, Europe and So it's incredibly enjoyable and a big education, yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, it's been really interesting to chat with you, Henry Porter. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Really, thank you.